the use of the word trust could be used synonymously with faith. This faith to move mountains, this faith to be able to create things for yourself without having that little smidgen of doubt in there. Remember, as it says in Proverbs in the Old Testament, as you think, so shall you be. Your thoughts, of course, create your reality. And the application of this is that if you're doubting, if you're thinking about even the littlest amount of doubt, then that will be what you will work on. You will act upon that inner world of doubt, and you will manifest the result of doubt. And if you doubt something, then obviously, you know, as Shakespeare said, our doubts are our traitors. William Blake had a wonderful line. He said, if the sun and moon should ever doubt, they would immediately go out. So it's almost like you have to have the faith of the sun and the moon, that you are a divine being that has this divine intelligence within it. And as I talk about trust, it's appropriate to look at the characteristics of this thing that has many names: the God force, the spirit, the invisible intelligence, the soul, the consciousness, the awareness. Whatever name or label that we place on it, it has certain characteristics. And this is a very tough area for us to master, because our egos, the part of us that are rooted in the physical domain, really strongly believe in our separateness from each other and from God. And because we are so attached to our separateness, it is very hard for us to now begin to trust in a unity kind of consciousness, a consciousness which says that I am much more than that which I observe. I am much more than my troubles. I am much more than that which I notice. As the noticer, I have this divine capacity. So what I'm talking about here is an intelligence or a God force or a divine awareness, whatever you want to call it, that is in all things. It's in everything. Everything starts with an idea, and this idea is not in the physical domain. To come to trust in this really means that you have to transcend the ego part of you and say, I have got to learn as an individual, as a particularized part of this divine intelligence, I have to learn about and adopt an intelligence that doesn't know how to particularize. I have to adopt and be a part of an intelligence that is everywhere. That's what universal means. Universal intelligence means there is no place that it is not. Okay? Now, if there's no place that it is not, it means that it is in me. And if it is in me, and there's no place that it is not, it is also in everything that I process or perceive to be missing from my life. It's also in that. So if I would like to be able to manifest abundance of some kind, or a relationship, or a healing, or a seller for my home, or a promotion, or whatever it is, the intelligence that I am talking about, this universal divine organizing intelligence that is the highest part of, that represents the highest part of you, is in the very thing that is missing. So here's a key line to learn about learning to trust. When you learn to manifest, you are doing nothing more than manifesting another aspect of yourself. You're manifesting another aspect of yourself. This intelligence doesn't know how to particularize, yet you have got to learn to adopt it and understand it from someone who is convinced that you are an individual who is particularized. You've got to do this with your ego, but yet you've got to transcend the very ego that you're doing it with. And when you do, the ego part of you says, wait a minute, if you get this, you don't need me anymore. So I'm going to do everything I can to keep you from destroying the very thing that supports you. So this doubt will surface all the time. So I remember one of the great teachers in my life was Fritz Radl, who wrote a book called Controls from Within. and was a student in Vienna. And he taught at, in the doctoral program at Wayne State University. And I was really blessed to be in one of his seminars. And I remember him coming in one day to this doctoral seminar. There were, I think there were six of us in the seminar. And he presented us with this story. He was just a great teacher. He never judged any of us. Everybody, he already said, you're great, you've got an A. You're doctoral students, here's your grade, all right? Now, you can come if you want to come. You don't have to come if you don't want to come. It's up to you. I don't put any emphasis on it. If nobody's here, when I get here on Wednesday evenings, it was a three-hour seminar, he said, I'll just meditate. Yeah. And not one person ever missed a class. I don't think I ever worked harder in a seminar than I worked for this man. He wasn't doing what he was doing because he was attached to us doing it the way he thought we should do it. He wanted us to actualize ourselves. And he even said to us, self-actualizing people live from their divine self. They know the divine. And he said, imagine a person who's living at the highest level who comes and shows up at a dinner party. And this dinner party, everyone is dressed in formal attire. Everybody has a suit on, not just a suit, but a black tie. And he said, this person shows up, and he's wearing a pair of jeans and a baseball cap and a pair of sneakers and a T-shirt. And he shows up at this gathering where everyone is dressed in formal attire. He said, the question is, what would he do? And he walked out of the room. He said, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Now, each one of us sat there, and we wanted to prove how cool we were. You know, as a young doctoral student, I was 27 years old. And I had read this, and I had read Maslow, and heard of Maslow doing these kind of things, and I even had an opportunity to meet Dr. Maslow and to study with him, which was a great honor. So I wrote what I thought would be his reaction, and each of the rest, the other five of us all did the same. And then he came in and he said, okay, Vane, read your answer. And I read what I had written down, and each person read it. Most of us wrote something like, well, he wouldn't leave, and he wouldn't make a big issue of it, and he wouldn't pay attention to that, and he's not into appearances, and so he wouldn't be concerned with whether the people liked it or not, and he would be independent of the good opinion of other people. I mean, I had it all down, right? And I gave all what I thought would be the right answers, how cool I would be. And each one of us read it, and then Fitz Radl said, none of you got it. He said, the answer is very simple, three words. He wouldn't notice. Now, it shows you how far we have to go. He wouldn't notice. These are people, and this is a level of trust that I'm trying to get you to understand, which is one in which the unfolding of God is what is seen by this person in each one of us and in everything that he sees in the universe. They see the unfolding of God in each person. Not a physique, not a shape, not a color, not a sex, not an occupation, not a socioeconomic classification. None of those things. What they see is the unfolding of God in all things and in all people. And when you get to this place where you're beginning to trust in this wisdom that created you, you're beginning to understand what this force is like and how different it is from the ego, which is the part of us that has separated ourselves from that force and has believed in our own sense of particularization or individualization. Remember, to develop the kind of trust that I'm talking about, you have to be able to process this intellectual fact that there is an intelligence in the universe that doesn't know how to particularize. It doesn't know how to individualize. It has no preferences. It is everywhere at the same time. It has no judgment. It is like electricity. It's just there. It's everywhere and in everything. And being in everything, it's in you and everything that you would like to manifest. So what you're doing as you manifest is just getting another part of yourself to align.